This is Plantarama, a weekly look at what's happening in the world of horticulture from Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. If you've noticed some damage to your honey locust trees, it's probably being caused by the second generation of mimosa webworms. However, K-State horticultural entomologist Raymond Cloyd says you'll have to wait until spring to apply a treatment. Raymond, let's start off by talking about mimosa webworm. We are seeing some damage there.
Oh, substantial damage, Jeff. If you're out there looking at your honey locust and the leaves are brown, it looks like it's been hit by a blowtorch. That's damage associated with the mimosa webworm. It is caterpillar. It creates this webbing. It feeds and then the leaves die. There's nothing you can do right now. But be aware next year, be out early spring looking for the caterpillars and before they create the webs, because once they create those webs, insecticides will no longer be effective. So at this point, if your trees are damaged, there's nothing you can do. If they're mature, they'll generally be able to survive 1 or 2 years of that kind of damage. If it's more, then they can be susceptible to wood-boring insects. But just be cognizant, the organism responsible is the mimosa webworm.
Okay, so then what about the fall webworm? What's the difference there?
That's a good question, Jeff. The fall webworm, very similar to mimosa webworm, they create these webs in the trees, and if you drive the back roads of Kansas, you see them on walnuts and pecans and hickory and those type of trees. But that's the second generation. And eventually the trees are going to lose leaves, deciduous ones, and allocate resources down into the growth, into storage roots. The first generation in spring, if you see webbing in the tree, you can either prune it out. You can't spray because they stay within the nest. So you have to either disrupt the nest with high-pressure water sprays or a rake. But generally, it's localized infestations and it's mature trees they will feed upon. But if you've got young trees, you probably should either prune it out or disrupt it and maybe make an application of some type of insecticide such as BTK, Bacillus thuringiensis curistaci, or the spinosad on the young larva. But at this point, there's no need to implement any type of plant protection strategies.
The fall armyworm is still active.
We have seen fall armyworm damage on turf grass last couple weeks. They are in the later instars. Remember that they will not overwinter here. They only overwinter in Florida and Texas, and then they'll get caught up as moths in the jet stream. So I'm not sure if we'll get a third generation. I think we're looking at the second right now, but if the weather stays warm, conducive, we could get a third. Just be on the lookout. Watch your turf grass. Look for moths. Look for egg masses laid on your decks or whatever, gray egg masses. We do have an extension publication you can download that provides more information on the fall armyworm.
And just because we're into fall doesn't mean that we might not see some mosquitoes still.
If the weather's still conducive and they're standing water, the mosquitoes can still breed. So the main, what we call the main strategies, the three main strategies of dealing with mosquitoes is remove any standing water because that's where they breed. Puddles or whatever, if you can, obviously some of that won't be practical. Wear repellents when you're outside. DEET is still the main one, but IR3535 and pericardium are two others. And then lemongrass of eucalyptus does provide some protection, not the same level as DEET. And then, of course, if you have ponds or areas which you have fish or sensitive areas, you can use the mosquito dunks. And those have BTI, that's the Bacillus thuringiensis israeliensis. That's a relative of curistaci, which we use for caterpillars, but it only kills mosquito larvae. They have to eat it, and then they die, and then you don't get adults. So just heed by those strategies and read the extension publication and be aware that mosquitoes could still be active this time of year, especially if we get some more warm spells and we continue to get moisture.
Crickets have also been a problem the last couple of years.
Yes, that's an interesting question. I've gotten a call about crickets in brome and grass, but last year, one of the producers I work with in Cortland had a substantial damage, economic damage on his pumpkins from crickets. This is the house cricket, a black cricket, and they were feeding upon it. One of the issues is when you've got this cover of dead debris or whatever, they reside in there. So it's really hard to get them on contact. But yes, this is the second year in a row that we've had inquiries regarding house crickets feeding on plants, this case, fruit on the pumpkins and plants outdoors, on brome or I think it was alfalfa too, they're feeding upon.
And again, all sorts of publications available through Extension.
Absolutely. We keep building a plethora of Extension publications. We just have two new ones this year, cicada killer and lace bugs. And you can always contact our Department of Entomology at Kansas State if you have inquiry, and they will guide you to the individual that can best serve you.
That's K-State horticultural entomologist Raymond Cloyd with an update on insect pest activity in Kansas. Plantarama is produced by K-State Research and Extension. This is the K-State Radio Network.